All right. Ruth, if you could first introduce yourself for me, please.
Sure. My name is Ruth Watts. I'm with the BASF Biopolymers Group, and I basically manage sales and development for our agricultural mulch business.
And you talked today about EcoVio, which we learned a little bit about at ASTA in December. But you had a lot more to tell us here, particularly the environmental benefits, really, of this product. So let's start. Just tell me about, it's EcoVio, right? That's how you pronounce it. Okay. What is it?
EcoVio is a partially based biopolymer. It's partly petroleum-based as well as bio-based, being PLA. It's designed specifically, now the molecular structure is designed to be recognized as food for the microbes. So just like you and I, when we eat food, we go through our stomachs, we use enzymes, we use water, we use temperature, and it basically becomes biomass, CO2, and water.
Well, and you had some samples for us, and it is a very, very thin type of plastic, and you talked about some of the case studies. I mean, some farmers who actually use this, particularly produce farmers, strawberry farmers, tomato farmers. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so standard mulch film, polyethylene mulch film, has been used for many years for the reasons of basically weed management, water management, and maximizing the soil quality so that there's no water erosion. So our technology does the same thing. The challenge that polyethylene film has is that as you downgauge, as in any mulch film that you use, over time during the growing season, it will degrade because of the UV, the sun, the temperature, the water. And so what happens is that with polyethylene mulch film, because it becomes very brittle, as the farmers at the end of the season try to pull it out, it will fragment. So they have a very hard time in down gauging to a certain point to still maintain the same properties without causing soil contamination or concern by the farmers. The additional thing that's becoming more and more of a challenge is that when they do pull that mulch film today, normally by weight, 60 to 70% of that is the topsoil goes with it. And so when it's hauled away by a hauler and taken to a recycler, if there is a recycler, then that recycler has to wash it, they have to dry it, and then they have to find basically a market for that particular resin. So here we have a solution that does several things. One, it provides the same functionality. It provides an end-of-use aspect that is very environmentally friendly. In other words, it goes into the soil, the microbes eat it just like you and I eat food, and it provides an energy benefit that they can work in a healthier environment. And then the other thing that it will do is that, hold, you can stop for a minute, I'm just trying to get my thoughts here. And so as we talked about down gauging, now they can go and they can basically can reduce the amount of material used to get the same performance, okay, without contamination of the soil. The other key thing is that when you look at farmers that have never used mulch film in the past, it could be because of their post-harvest practices. So, for instance, processing tomatoes. If they lay it down, they'll get the benefits of mulch where they'd get the water, the weed control, and higher yields, anywhere from 10 to 20% is what is normally predicted or has been found. But the challenge they have then is how do they get it out of the field, and the concerns of if they do use combines to harvest, does it tie up their equipment? You know, does it go with the tomatoes? And so one of the things we've done both in Asia and in Europe is that we actually have run trials with processing tomatoes. And the farmers have found that over time, in a very light gauge that we shared today, they actually used a 0.5 mil, even lower. So it maintained and did the moisture management, it did the weed management control, and then when they went to harvest the material, it had already degraded to a point that when it did, it didn't really tie up the equipment. It went into the soil, which is exactly where we want it to go. And so now they have a solution that, we got 14% yield, I think, in Italy. They got over 20% in Asia. So now you've got an increased yield. Your soil's in good condition. So they were pretty pleased about it.
So it actually helps the soil?
Well,
it doesn't hurt it.
What it does is it's like you and I. It's food. It helps the microbes basically perform at its maximum benefit. And so that's what it does. As far as the result is that, you know, it's the biomass, right, that comes out of that microbe. It can be nutrients. But as far as specifics or how much, I don't think that's ever been measured. However, I will share with you, Washington State University is starting this spring a study just on that. What happens with biodegradable products in the soil over time for 5 years? So we're very excited about that, actually.
But I mean, at least it's not doing any harm that you can tell, and it provides the benefits of dissolving, I guess, so to speak, in the soil, and the farmers can plow it under with no adverse effects.
Right. So it's eaten, and so it doesn't necessarily dissolve in the soil, but it's eaten right. But we have done studies. We've done toxicity studies, you know, plant studies, earthworm studies, several different studies that are done in Europe that have proven that over time this material is not toxic at all. I mean, we know that for a fact. That what we want to learn more about is, you know, if a farmer does a certain thickness over a certain time with a crop, what other things does he want to measure? What we normally do is certain toxicity studies that are required by the governments. But if there's other things that the farmers want to know more about that we may not know today, I believe that these are some of the things the universities will help us better understand.
So is Ecovio commercially available in the United States?
Yes, it is. In fact, we have two customers today that actually blow the resin, the pellets, into film. We have a third one that is also working on determining which markets they want to go into. But yes, if there are people that are interested, let me know and I'll direct them and they can choose who they want to work with. And yeah, they're very excited. It's a dynamic market for us today because of the issues I mentioned before.
Where do you see as the main major markets for Ecovio in the United States?
Okay, I think today, because you know this material was designed to function on the field for a certain time and then go away, right? And so I think farmers that are looking at 6 months to 10 months, that's a possibility. Again, the thickness is going to make a difference. What their soil type is going to make a difference. You know, if they have a high organic growth, then they can, you know, and what their crop requirements are, it will go faster than, say, sandy soil. So if you have a sandy soil condition, we want you to go as light as possible, but with limitations on how long it's going to last in the field, right, from a functionality standpoint. So that's why having those conversations with the farmer, understanding his expectations, what his farming practices are, all those discussions need to take place so we can create the film, the thickness that they need in order to meet all those requirements.
So it would vary between a strawberry grower in Plant City, Florida, and for that matter, a strawberry grower in California. It might be different.
That's correct. Now, one thing, just to be clear, there polyethylene film and Ecovio are not what we call fumigation film. So but there are some farmers that don't fumigate that do strawberries, right? And we've done some trials. And so what we have found that in the requirements that they want, the 10 months that they want, it gets pretty close to meeting the weed management and soil management. The challenge is that if they fumigate, it's not a fumigant film. So they can't really go in that direction.
Is it too porous? I mean,
yeah, it's too poor. So you have that permeation rate, and that determines the buffer zone, right? Right. And so that's why they use the TIFs and the VIFs. This is not one of those films. But for those farmers that do not fumigate and they either already use polyethylene film and want to go to an alternative route, we found that the disposal costs, the labor costs, that will pretty much, I would say, make it an even wash. Now, those who have not used mulch film because of those concerns we talked about earlier, then there's huge benefits to them. That we had recently an Idaho farmer come and talk to us about what he wanted to do, and he automatically said, this is an opportunity that it will help me get higher yields, better crop quality, which we've seen with studies by some of these brand owners. And I think the other thing to mention that I didn't mention earlier was brand owners today. So if they sell to certain markets like Whole Foods or Costco's or Walmart, you know, they all have these scorecards now, right? And they all want to know, what are you doing, even from farming practices, to help in sustainability? This is a great tool for that.
All right, excellent point. All right, thank you so much, Ruth. Here at the Science Behind event with BASF, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.